At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Feels like he's never left. The players feel like he never left. Just the dynamic, the energy in the clubhouse. It's definitely different today. So happy to have him back.
Carlos Correa is back. Carlos Correa! Carlos Correa! The vibes were good on Friday, and then the Astros got swept. That's what happened. They got swept by the Red Sox. The offense really struggled. Wasted a great start by Hunter Brown. Framber Valdez had a bit of a meltdown in the fourth inning yesterday. And base running inning issues galore Friday. Some more on Saturday. And despite 14 hits on Saturday, their best day, only one of them was an extra base hit. So swept. They're now just up 2.5 games on the Mariners in the American League West. The Rangers are also creeping back into the picture. They are 4.5 games back. Things, vibes-wise, are bad. And if I'm on the Nick Cage scale of freak out, 1 being the most chill, 5 being most freaked out, I'm at a 3. I think 3 is...
What do you say we cut the chit-chat? A-hole!
Aggravated. They're not quite panicking. But we're close to panicking. We do this a lot because the Astros' medical staff is a lot less trustworthy than their offense at all times. We give you updates on what's going on with the Astros and their barber surgeons who, from time to time, don't appear to know what they're doing via a segment that we like to call Astros ER.
If I expose exactly what's wrong with it, which will hurt him and hurt us.
He don't really know how he hurt it. Sometimes you wake up sore, hurt. You know, he's laughing a little bit more. And
he wasn't crying, but he had tears on his eyes.
Brantley's doing fine.
He said he's feeling better.
It's not his throwing shoulder, so he should be fine.
I'd like to think I have healing power, but I don't.
This is a house of learned doctors.
Jeremy Peña was back on Friday night. He had 3 hits in his first game back. Everything's great. Let's go. And then if you're watching the game in the 9th inning, all of a sudden, wait a second, what? Wait, what happened? Carlos Correa is moving to shortstop? Jeremy Page is out of the game? My first thought was that he re-aggravated the ribs. I know after the game we got more details. It was a hamstring issue. It kept Pena out of Saturday's game. There's a cramp in his hammy. Hamstring cramp. Have never had one of those. Usually cramps are in the calves. But how's he doing? How is Jeremy Pena? He did play yesterday. Here is what Joe Espada had to say about Pena before yesterday's game.
Jeremy is where you thought he would be right now?
Yeah, he's good. He's ready to go. I'm glad that he just only took one day, but he says he feels good to go.
He says he feels good to go. Not going to lie, the paranoia had me freaking out. Friday night, I was like, oh, here we go again. Oh, it's off the bone. He's going to be out as long as Isak Paredes is, which is 6 to 7 months. That was my first thought. And I blame the Astros medical staff because every Astros injury makes me think about that.
Yeah, especially because, like, I didn't see, like, we didn't see anything with Jeremy Payne. Like,
no, it was
Isak Paredes, like, you saw him running up the first baseline. You're like, okay, this guy has a hurt hamstring. Yeah, Pena was just in the shroud of darkness. Just I didn't even notice, honestly, until I think after the game, like I saw tweets, I was like, oh, he wasn't.
I saw a post about it, and yeah. I saw a post that he was out of the game, and that's where I was like, oh, no, he must have re-aggravated his ribs.
Yeah.
Okay, it was a hamstring issue. He talked about it after the game. Everyone was talking about it, like, everything's fine, nothing to see here. And I'm sorry, the track record of the Astros with their medical staff and training staff
makes me assume
that they are always wrong and that everything is always the opposite.
Yeah, Jake Myers was doing great, too.
Was
until first base. You know what? Credit to Jeremy Payton. He finished the two games afterwards.
We have not had a Myers update in a while.
Doesn't seem good.
No, I mean, his Achilles might be busted based off of the way things looked. More Astros ER. Joe Espada was asked about Yordan Alvarez. This ought to be fun. What's the latest on Yordan, who's dealing with hand inflammation now that his hand has fully healed, allegedly?
Down in West Palm, he's hitting. He's feeling well. So right now is continue to, you know, build him up. But he's doing well. Coach's BP and in how intense his swings are. I saw him swinging the bat at home and he was taking some really good swings. So, like, percentage-wise, I don't know, but he looked pretty intent to me when he was taking those swings.
Poor Joe has to answer these questions. I'm watching a video from Florida. I'm not here. I don't know. I can't talk with him. Look good, I guess.
Yeah, well, he's getting BP thrown from coaches. I feel like that's, A, I think this is new on the comeback timeline of, like, hitting off a tee, doing what was the dry swings at one point. Like we are building out the, like, how many different steps does it take to play baseball again when you have a hand injury? And coach's BP doesn't seem like it's like knocking on the door.
No, it does not.
Coming back. Normally I like a live batting practice.
Not off a tee, though. So.
No, live batting practice where it's like an actual pitch. One of these rehabbing pitchers.
Yes.
Like Sean Dubin threw pitches to Yordan Alvarez.
It's hand inflammation. They told us it's healed. So either they're wrong about it being fully healed. And Yordan said, like, well, maybe I need surgery, maybe I don't. And it was kind of wishy-washy. And again, it's through a translator, so there's also that dynamic. But remember the last update we got? It was on Friday when we were at Landry's Seafood House in Galveston as part of the ESPN Houston Summer Circuit. That was a full month ago. And it was inflammation was when we found that out. It was like, oh, it's not a setback, like it's a break. Yeah. It's hand inflammation. It's been a month.
Every month, once a month, we get like a update that's not really an update. It's really more of a setback.
Right. and I guess this isn't a setback, but good God, it's been a month and it's inflammation. At a certain point, I don't know. Well, the messaging,
it seems,
as always, flawed with this team, so you don't know what's true.
It seems like there's an injury that they don't know that's causing the inflammation, as opposed to inflammation for 2 months.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
But we do have some good news on the Astros ER front. Spencer Arrighetti is back from a broken thumb, and he is expected to potentially start this week. I think Tuesday, the Astros don't have a starter right now. Tonight on the Hill, it's Jason Alexander against the Red Hot Miami Marlins, who did play the Yankees, who are a bunch of clowns right now, and sweep them.
Yeah. But unfortunately, the Astros are not full Yankees-level clowns, but they're running the bases like clowns. So,
Yankees are 4-6 in their last 10. The Astros are 2-8 in their last 10.
Oh, okay. No. I mean, they're worse, but they're not as clownish.
Right.
They're losing games. You know, they're losing games with dignity. They're not going viral with how they're losing games.
That's fair. Just no offense.
But they are losing. Don't get me wrong. They are losing.
The fourth inning yesterday, and some of the base running errors this weekend.
Yeah, not great.
Vibe's not great, but today could be the greatest day of the rest of your life.
Yeah, Miami trip will fix everything.
Yeah, get some Presidentes, perhaps an empanada.
Yeah.
You say, is it empanada or empinada?
I think it's empanada.
Okay.
I don't think there's an inye on there, but it could be wrong.
Okay. I don't know. I'm just trying to make it sound a little spicier. Oh, that's racist. No, I don't know. I didn't take Spanish. I took French, which is like the most useless thing I ever done in my life. Because I did it for Heritage. Je m'appelle Paul Gallant, mais je n'étudie pas le français depuis j'ai 19 ans. Like, that is actually something, but like, what is the point?
Have you been to France?
Yeah, when I was 12.
There you go.
An exchange trip in... I didn't speak any...
Yeah, I was gonna, when you said 12... Oh,
it was funny, though. Like, the French loved me because I was so... Like, I spoke French, but like, totally butchered the accent and everything, but they thought I was cute. My sister, who spoke really good French in seventh grade, like, they hated her. And I was like, this is the best.
You're the Bart Simpson to her Lisa Simpson.
Basically, yeah. I was just a charming MF-er. But yeah, worthless to take French. I should have taken Spanish. And I would be able to pronounce empanada correctly.
Yeah, and Sandy Alcantara's.
See. Got that word. I know that. That means yes. And it also means yes in Italian. Interesting.
See?
Who's to blame for the Astros' current struggles offensively? Is anyone going to say Jose Altuve? How about this guy, who all of a sudden, looking dicey? I'm Paul Gallant with Sean Mapes behind the glass. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Astros got swept over the weekend by the red-hot Boston Red Sox. Friday, they lost 10-1 in extra innings. Saturday, they lost 7-3 despite 14 hits. And on Sunday, they lost 6-1. They did have a 1-0 lead. For a brief moment of time, Carlos Correa hit a homer over the Green Monster, dude. But then the Red Sox scored 6 runs in the 4th inning in a Framber Valdez, not his best inning, aided by some really brutal Astros moments. This was a pretty sloppy weekend by them start to finish, considering they just added Carlos Correa, Jesus Sanchez, Ramon Urias, and seemed to be the trade deadline winners, given that they gave up so little to get those guys. They kept Christian Walker, who the Twins apparently wanted. They kept Spencer Arrighetti and Bryce Matthews. This, I think, killed a lot of the vibes, Sean, and I hate it, because it was so fun on Friday doing the show and talking about Carlos being back.
Yeah, it is the most, whiplash. It's just like whiplash of like Thursday show for us, because he got traded 5 minutes after it ended. That it was like, oh, you know, probably not gonna do anything, and we're kind of cool with that, whatever, you know, what can they do? And then Friday show is they are trade deadline champions, Carlos Correa's back, and then on Monday it's like, oh, the vibes bad again.
Yep.
like it's literally like we literally played a sounder the first segment of the show that we haven't used since
been a while.
Last year when they were like 10 games back in June. Like it's like when they were a terrible team to start last year's season. That's the last time we really played the bad vibes alert. We've already swung all the way back to that.
But it goes to show you that no show is more optimistic and positive about our Houston Astros.
Yeah.
Then this
heartbeat of the fan right here.
It is.
When they win last night, when they win the night before, it's who's stopping this team.
Exactly.
When they lose, it's whose fault was it?
Right. But we do not do the whose fault very often.
No.
But we're going to do it right now.
Yes.
Cam Smith's been sucking it up of late. He's a rookie. Was bound to happen. But the struggles at the plate have been pretty concerning, because you do wonder now that this is the most he's ever played this season. You know, remember he was playing in college just a couple of years ago. Like, what was it? Was it even two that he was in the College World Series?
No, it was 2024
right.
College World Series.
Yeah, I mean, goodness gracious. And then, so this is the most he's ever played. And by the way, he's doing it at the major league level. And also, after a while, guys do tend to figure you out. Is he going to have an adjustment by the end of the year? Is he going to be able to get back to form? Since a home run that I witnessed in person against the Cubs
Smith is slashing 200, 267, 267, and 116 plate appearances. He's had six extra base hits. None have left the ballpark. That's what's interesting right now. Smith is really struggling. And Altuve, his numbers look solid, but Altuve has had a lot of moments and opportunities, and he hasn't come through on them. Christian Walker's hitting better. Yiner Diaz is hitting better. Some guys you're seeing all of a sudden, I think, bounce back. Jeremy Pena's alive. Jesus Sanchez in his first couple of games has actually done pretty well. Hell, even Hector Urias had a hit. Or excuse me, Ramon Urias had a hit. I don't know why I keep on calling him Hector. But Cam Smith seems to have hit the rookie wall.
Yeah, and I'll be interested to see if maybe Jesus Sanchez does a little platooning with Cam Smith. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is more of a if/when Jake Myers comes back. So, you know, another... Or Yordan, where like another outfield spot kind of gets closed off there, and you're just trying to get Sanchez some time. But yeah, I think Cam Smith, it's officially like rookie wall time, which is understandable. He was good in May and June, but every other part of the season where it's like, yep, this is, you know. And to start the season, it's, hey, listen, he made this crazy jump. He's going to struggle for a little bit. Seems like he found his footing for a little while, and now he's kind of hitting the side of, like you said, rookie wall, league figured him out a little. I'm still positive long-term on Cam Smith, but in the short-term, like, I'm not expecting much from him. He's already been asked to do a lot. There's times, like 2 weeks ago, he was leading off for this team. Like,
yeah.
It's been a wild ride for Cam Smith.
We had a really nice couple of months from him after a start that was, yeah, what you expected out of a young player. And I remember Jeremy Booth was telling us to keep your expectations measured. He's going to join us on Wednesday, talk about what happened at the trade deadline and Cam Smith and other things. Smith, I am concerned about the rest of the way. That Sanchez bringing him in, great. But I do feel like, you know, with Jake Myers gone, that's also a sign that Myers ain't coming back. Yeah. So how...
I think it's a, you know, fingers crossed with Yordan. Now the left field is going to be Altuve for most, you know, for the most part. Maybe Sanchez and Smith split right field. Mm-hmm. I think that's the, you know, that's the hope. But we'll see.
It is the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in town. You want to jump in, 713-780-3776 is how you call. It's how you text. Something just popped up on the timeline, Sean, and I'm going to put this in the rundown. And if you want, I'm assuming that we can play this, but...
Just 3.5 minutes long.
What? Oh, no, not that one. Not that one. No, there's a 14-second one. I think it's just a TikTok being posted, and I don't think there's actually any audio to it. So you know what? Here we go. A female Houston police officer is under investigation after she threatened to give, quote, everyone, end quote, a ticket because she didn't get laid the night before. Her name is Jennifer Escalera. Gotta say, nice face. Can't really tell about anything else because she is sitting in a cop car wearing a police uniform. Looks like she's Kevlar'd up. She filmed herself in the police cruiser, posted this on TikTok. She complained about how she didn't get cracked the night before. I guess that's the slang for getting shaboinked, banging, the sex, if you will. She spelled didn't like this. This is, I don't know why she misspelled this on purpose, but D-I-N-T, get cracked last night, so everyone is getting a ticket, ..
Not enough D.
That's so
in the
true.
Word didn't and in her.
Yes, Sean, you're right.
Off-duty line.
It's a very, very astute observation.
Yeah,
there.
There's something there.
I don't know why she posted this.
Go viral, dude.
Her TikTok account has multiple posts of her in a police uniform. Some have since been taken down. She is also a mom, per Colin Rugg, who posted this. Harris County Constable Pressing 5 office posted this. Our administration is aware in internal affairs has opened an investigation. We have no other comment at this time. I mean, I doubt she's pulling people over because she didn't get bored.
Yeah, you'd have to, like, actually pull, like, did she actually give everyone a ticket?
Right. But what an idiot.
I mean,
don't pull me over on my way home. Like, actually, if you do, you're a strong, powerful, independent woman, and you're a model for women everywhere to be strong and independent and to be a single mother, for sure. Mm. But if I don't see you, you're an idiot. Why would you post this?
Go viral. That's what life is about now.
Is she trying to do the viral jump after getting fired to OnlyFans?
Yeah.
Because that's the progression.
That's one. Crypto rug pull is another one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. This is just like, I don't know. Just, you have a pretty good job. Just don't. A decent job.
I don't know what her salary is because I don't know what level of police officer she is. But I mean, I imagine she's going to get, they're like, give me your gun and your badge and your phone, you little tramp. You dirty whore.
Yeah.
Because that's how they talk in, you know, down at the station, at the precinct. That's how they talk to each other, you know?
Yeah.
Very honest.
I can't believe that someone's job today to be like, I guess I have to look into this.
I know. That's going to suck. Like, oh, internal affairs. Let's look into, that hoe over there who all happens to be a police officer who posted this stupid TikTok post saying that she's going to pull people over because she didn't get laid last night.
Like,
cracked. My bad. Cracked. Didn't get cracked.
Didn't.
D-I-N-T.
Yeah. I mean, you can chuck this up to like, hey, let's just try to make a joke. You know, I didn't actually pull everyone over.
Yes, but if you did pull anyone over, they'd probably have to review it. And honestly,
I'm contesting that ticket.
Yeah,
if,
I know.
If Officer Whatever Face pulled me over today, I'm showing up to contest this ticket.
Officer Jennifer Escalera. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. You probably wouldn't be able to countersue here because if she doesn't show up, and she's definitely not showing up, if she's busy posting TikToks on company time, she's not going to show up for a court date if she's pulled you over. But if she did, you might be able to pull some sort of like, hey, let's bring in Tony Busby. Hey, let's get some money out of this. She persecuted me because she didn't have sex. And then I'd probably make up. Although they got the body cams thing, so I guess she couldn't proposition me. Anyway, I'm just running it. Listen, I want to make money.
In your Tony Busby brain, your defense was going to be that
she propositioned me. I mean, I am handsome. I mean, it could happen.
Like the start of a video you see online.
Oh yeah. Wow.
Normally it's reverse.
You have the right to take your pants off.
We're gonna have to do a thorough search. Bow down, down.
Anyway, you know what? I will say this about the
stay safe out there.
First off, stay safe out there. Second, I will say this about the Houston Police Department. I've seen some baddies. Disproportionate.
I was not ready. When you start a sentence with say what you want about the Houston Police Department, I was braced for a lot of things. I was not braced for that.
There are some strong, powerful, independent women that work at the Houston Police Department. That's all I'm trying to say.
Okay?
Hopefully
they live very fulfilling lives so they don't pull us over.
The one of the times I got in a car accident, this is the one time it was my fault. The person who pulled me over was like a very attractive police officer. And she said like, yeah, just show up for court. I won't be there. And I was like, yes. And then I somehow conned the tow truck driver drove me into a parking lot. And then I said like, and then he put my car down and I was like, oh, you don't have the right to touch this car again. It's now been removed. And he got very mad at me. And I said like, yeah, do something, bitch. But I didn't say it like that. I basically said like, you have no right to
do something, sir.
Yeah. Like, well, this is a tow truck guy, not the cop, you know, but, anyway, no one cares about this. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Jennifer Escalera, I wish you well in your future endeavors, which I'm assuming are going to be on OnlyFans in the near future. If you want to jump in, you know how to do it. We are closer and closer to the kickoff of the 2025 NFL season. Oh, my goodness gracious. We're just 31 days away. That's a month. The long kind. Stick around as we continue our countdown. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant.
31 days away from the start of the NFL season. Who was the best 31 in NFL history? I don't like the first one that pops up. The Hall of Fame gives us our starting point, writes Pigskin Dispatch. Jack Tatum. Jack Tatum was also often called the assassin for his hard-hitting style of play, but also could blanket a wide receiver in coverage as well. No mention of paralyzing Daryl Stingley in that write-up. Also number 31, LSU great Jim Taylor, who played for the Green Bay Packers, over his career combined for 10,500 yards from scrimmage. Other number 31s, you might remember way back in the day, Aaron Glenn, who played for the Houston Texans from 2002 through 2004, an original Texan. I think he was their second pick in the 2002 expansion draft. Number one was Tony Boselli. Aaron Glenn is now the head coach of the New York Jets. Other 31s, I think there's a pretty strong case to be made that Bernard Pollard was one of the most important Texans in team history from 09 to 2010, but he wasn't there for the turnaround. Also, Shiloh Kao, special teams legend. Charles James, special teams legend and Hard Knocks star. Also, Steven Nelson, Ward number 31 when he played for the Texans in 2022. David Johnson, part of the DeAndre Hopkins trade. He was number 31. Number 31 for the Texans is currently Damian Pierce.
It's not a bad number. There's, you know.
No one's great.
Yeah, it's a lot of guys, you know.
But
just
you
a lot
recognize
of,
the names. Yeah. So there you go. We are 31 days away. We told you about this a little bit earlier. Jerry Jones basically called Micah Parsons bluff over the weekend. Micah, of course, on Friday, via a very long notes app, demanded a trade. Jerry Jones dismissed it as a negotiating ploy, suggested that his back injury is also a negotiating ploy. I do think that the back injury is a negotiating ploy. Do what you got to do. Show up to camp, but don't get fined. That's what Micah Parsons is doing here. I am very curious to see how this plays out because Jerry is being rather cocky about it. And I wonder if there is any team that is willing to send two first-round picks to the Cowboys to go and get him. He is worth two first-round picks.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those situations where he is worth someone actually trying to trade him. He is also so good that the Cowboys should not try to trade him. Like, you just sign him to the biggest contract in defensive end, making the highest paid defensive end in NFL history. Like, boom, done.
I think the Titans should think about it. You have Cam Ward. You're hoping Cam Ward's the guy. Obviously, you never know, but you're going to be with Cam Ward for the next 2 to 3 years because you drafted him first overall. If you want to get a guy to help you reset the defense, that's the way to do it. And I feel like Parsons has randomly weighed in on the Titans in the last couple of days.
I mean, the last couple of days. I don't know. I don't know about that. I thought you were going to say over the last couple of years. I was like, well, he has a podcast, so he weighs in on a lot of things. Expect him to weigh in on. But yeah, for the Texans' sake, can I say, please not? Please not, Micah Parsons.
Yeah, I wouldn't like Micah
Cam
Parsons.
Cam Robinson's hurt. They have no chance to block him now.
So Parsons has his own podcast, but also regularly joins all sorts of other media outlets. He was on, I think, A to Z Sports? I don't know what the hell that is. And in said time that he was on A to Z Sports, he was asked about
Cam Ward, and he said this: "I love it. I love it. I think this is what the Titans need. My comp is Joe Burrow. If you watch that Miami film, there's games where their defense gave up 25 points a game. They've been playing from behind. But when I tell you I've never seen a college quarterback, and I talk about him on the pod all the time, I thought he was a Heisman favorite of mine. Cool, calm, collected, able to make throws. He's gutsy. He trusts his arm. The confidence that he comes back and he wins those games for Miami. Except for the game that they blew a 21-point lead against Syracuse, but no one's talking about that one. Kyle McCord, going to be a Hall of Famer? I don't know. I'm just asking the question. To bring it back to this, Parsons knew what he was doing there, but that was a couple of days ago. And as you have the trade request out there, this is another interesting little nugget to put out there. A lot of Titans people are like, yeah, go do it. And honestly, I think they should. I don't want it to happen, but I think they should. So we'll see if Parsons ends up elsewhere. Meanwhile, Brian Schottenheimer gave a very mealy-mouthed explanation about how this is not a distraction, and bless his heart. Bless his heart! The 10-minute drill continues, 31 days away from the start of the NFL season. Dan Quinn asked about Terry McLaurin's trade request, which took the back seat on Friday after Micah Parsons made his. I'd be pissed if I was Terry McLaurin. You've been doing this, you've been playing for this god-awful organization for a while. At least the Cowboys have been competitive and have made the playoffs. You play for this god-awful organization that has like a dump-ass stadium. The vibes are good. You have a great quarterback. You make a trade request because you want to get paid. And then Micah Parsons does it a little bit later. And it just completely supplants you as the number one story in the NFL. Dan Quinn said it's normal business when asked about it.
It isn't. I mean, it is kind of normal.
Definitely business. Normal business, yeah. Still a bummer.
Yeah, yeah. No, you definitely want the spotlight. Like, you want to be the first take on NFL Live, like, when they're talking about holdouts and trade requests. You don't want to be the second guy. Because Terry McLaurin is a very good receiver, but he's not the Michael Parsons of receivers. No. So, it's a little bit of like, yeah, this guy is way better, also plays for the Cowboys. We're probably going to run with this story. Thanks, Terry. Thanks,
yep.
Terry.
Yep. Crazy, though. I mean, they're in the NFC Championship game, and he is their best offensive player, not named Jaden Daniels.
And they should pay him. The only, you know, concern is that I think he's a little bit older than you think.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
But also, guys, like, who is getting paid on the, I guess, other than Tunsil, who's a high-priced guy on the Commanders?
Like, I don't know what Deebo Samuel's contract is after they traded for him, so.
Yeah, it feels like they should have room, given their rookie quarterback or, you know, rookie deal quarterback and not a ton of talent around him.
They do have Marshawn Lattimore. That's a pretty expensive deal.
Yeah. I forgot they traded for
him. I forgot about that as well. Yeah, they've been pretty aggressive.
They should get this thing done. And, hey, if he...
Javon Kinlaw, also rather expensive.
If he gets old in 2 years, like, try to front load it to where it doesn't hurt as bad. But.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. That's what you do, but, like, I don't know. This doesn't make any sense going into a year where the vibes are finally good for this team. Yeah, now, all of a sudden, it's like, our second-best player on offense is holding out, and the president is not going to let us build a new stadium unless we call ourselves the Redskins again. Two things that are actually happening, allegedly.
Yeah. Not great. Not great stuff.
Because I think everyone wants a new stadium. I think they would be like, hey, call us the Washington things that are getting thrown on WNBA courts if they got them a new stadium. I think they would be okay with that. By the way, if they were called the Washington Hogs, you could say that would be similar. They should be the Washington Hogs. It'd be so funny. I'd buy a shirt. Hall of Fame! Some players were inducted over the weekend. Sterling Sharp honored his brother. We played some audio of his brother on Friday. Shannon Sharp, who was fired by ESPN, getting a little bit mad that he had gotten fired when his brother is supposed to be the one getting honored this weekend. They could have done it a little bit earlier. I suppose they could have, honestly. It's weird how long they dragged it out. But Sterling honored his brother in his speech. Shannon left his seat to join Sterling Sharp at the podium. Sterling finished his speech arm in arm with Shannon. Sterling, 3 years older than Shannon. For those who don't know, early 90s, Sterling was the best receiver in the NFL. I mean, he was awesome. And then he had a neck injury, and that was it. So Shannon Sharp, when he won his first Super Bowl in 1997 with the Broncos, not knowing he'd win another one, gave Sterling Sharp his Super Bowl ring, which is honestly one of the coolest brother moves ever.
Maybe Shannon knew they were going to win it the next year, but I don't know.
Yeah.
They were a dreadnought that year. They were undefeated very late in the year. I think they were 13-0, 14-0, the 98-99 Broncos, and they smoked the Falcons in the Super Bowl. But
he did it after the first. Like, he did it so cool. not knowing that they're
one of the coolest, like, I don't know much about Shannon Sharpe other than that time where in the midst of the Broncos killing the Patriots.
Oh, called the National Guard.
Called the National Guard, and I'm sort of like, I mean, it's funny, but hurt my feelings. This is one of the coolest things I've ever heard about Shannon Sharpe, truly.
Yeah.
That's an awesome move. Antonio Gates was the first player who did not play college football to get inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He credited Chargers tight end coach Tim Brewster, who I guess was the one that thought he could move from playing basketball at Kent State, right, to being a tight end at the NFL.
Good call by Tim Brewster.
Yeah,
I'll say.
Tim Brewster
should be in the Hall of Fame.
Tim Brewster, I hope you got paid out of that.
Yeah.
Jared Allen wore a cowboy hat for a speech. His speech was about selling your why. You got to find your why. And his whys, as far as why he wanted to be a successful pro, were fear, respect, and the pursuit of greatness.
He also wore number 69.
Yeah.
That's what I remember. Here cowboy hats nice. And wearing 69. And being a really good defenseman.
Yeah, he was really good. Eric Allen also inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Not as many fun tidbits from that, other than he had been waiting for a while and he got in. So good for Sterling Sharpe and good for Eric Allen. Paul Gallant said, it is the Paul Gallant Show. ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston and Twitch at ESPN 975. 31 days away from the start of the NFL season. If you want to weigh in on the Astros and their struggles offensively, you know how to do it. Up next, there's an epidemic going on in a sport that some of us love. Stick around. First, though, I got to tell you about my friends. I got some friends, some new friends, everybody. My friends at St. Arnold started off my weekend with a little St. Arnold Summer Pilsner. You already know St. Arnold's got a beer for everyone. Their beer garden is a place for everyone. And now, if you want to host private events at St. Arnold's, they've got a space for everyone. You can have your private event at St. Arnold, a wedding, family reunion, a birthday party, a company happy hour, a trade show, corporate meetings, holiday gatherings, celebrations of life. Why not? There's a space for groups of 20 to 300 people. For a small group, there's the Investors Pub. For larger groups, they've got the beer hall with full audio-visual capabilities, projector screens, and an in-house catering menu prepared by the St. Arnold chef. From an appetizer table to a full-on feast. And of course, they have all the beer you can handle. It's the freshest St. Arnold beer in the world. It's right there. They have wine, cider, root beer too. Book your event now. Holiday season's coming up. To get prime dates, whether it's a daytime rental or an evening event, weekday or weekend. And if you really want to get the biggest bang for your buck when you get this event, since you listen to ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, mention ESPN and get the brewery game package, or my name, Paul, for your event. The game package gets you a combo of dartboards, Jenga, cornhole, a pool table, and as a bonus, a photo booth. Get started at StArnold.com. Click on private events. That's StArnold.com. Click on private events. A beer for everyone and a space for everyone. It's St. Arnold. Get your party started the right way at an awesome spot.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. Rough week for the Astros. They lose not once, not twice, but three times to the Red Sox at Fenway Park. Boston is playing well of late, but the vibes were immaculate for the Astros coming out of the trade deadline. They lost three in a row. The offense still struggling. You want to get flustered with the pitching. I mean, Hunter Brown did what he was supposed to do. And for the most part, Framber Valdez did what he was supposed to do. But it was a sloppy weekend from the Astros. The bats weren't there. bad base running, bad defense. No excuses for this one. If you want to weigh in on it, you can. I'm at a 3 out of 5 on the Nick Cage scale of freakout. For those who don't know, that's what this sounds like. Here's Nick Cage freaking out in, I believe, The Rock.
What do you say we cut the chit-chat, a-hole?
There was a moment where Sean Connery's character in that movie thought that they were bonding a little bit because Nick Cage's character, Stanley Goodspeed, could have thrown him under the bus in front of his daughter. Instead, he didn't. This was after a massive chase took place in downtown San Francisco that led to Michael Bay levels of damage throughout the city. He wasn't having it. He wasn't happy. So he got on his ass. And that's where I'm about to be with the Astros right now. We're a very optimistic and positive show, but the offense, it's got to show up. You got to show up because we need some runs. And our heart depends on you. That's from Greece. You're welcome.
Thank you. I was wondering, like, man, you know what I could really go to? A random song?
Song
off
Paul
of Greece.
From a musical?
Yeah. I woke up today being like, man, Greece. Huh?
Yeah.
What a great flick.
Listen, I don't know why that one stuck in my head. But John Travolta, Olivia Newton-John, if you ever want to watch it, now you've heard of it. Women, they play basketball. Did you know that? It's the WNBA. There's a problem in the WNBA. It's time to check in on the other league that plays its games in the heat of the summer. Let's do it. Do you even support women's sports?
Women failed the WNBA.
We do.
Easton leads the scoring with 4.
And that's why she commands $7,000 a year.
It's time to talk WNBA. We got a problem in the WNBA because you have seen now multiple times, twice, bright green sex toys tossed onto the court. Once? Okay. Oh, we're just watching a game amongst Buffalo Bills fans because they do this too. Generally, it's pink for them. But now, WNBA games featuring the Valkyries from, I'm not 100% sure, the San Francisco Valkyries? Valkyries from, yep, the Golden State Valkyries. They're the road team for both of these events, so maybe this person is a, I don't know, Valkyries fan who likes to travel on the road, but you have now seen in a week two bright green sex toys tossed onto the court. We have a copycat. Here's what's really wild. The FBI has reportedly found and arrested the fan who did this. I mean, that's really, really quick. That's impressive work by law enforcement there. But I do feel bad for the WNBA that they're dealing with stuff like this. Like, you want to be taken seriously as a league. You're fighting for better pay and better conditions. And even if the interest in the league is not as, I think, high as it's being made out to be due to Caitlin Clark, it would still piss me off if I'm out there and all of a sudden people are throwing giant phallic devices onto the court. Sophie Cunningham actually had to write this out. Stop throwing. I don't think I'm allowed to say this word on the air. On the court, you're going to hurt one of us. And, I mean, it actually might happen. And, I mean, it would be an absolute shame if it happened.
I guess that they step on it.
Yeah, you could trip on it. You'd break hurt your ankle.
I was thinking, like, getting hit by it.
You get hit in the face by that. That would probably not feel great.
Wouldn't feel great, but I don't know. Injury. People do
a lot
of aggressive stuff with those things. That's all I'm saying.
Some people from the WNBA weighed in on this. Chicago Sky center Elizabeth Williams labeled it super disrespectful. Whoever's doing it just needs to grow up. I shouldn't find it funny, but it is. It is kind of funny.
Yeah. It was funny when the Bills fans did it.
Yeah.
Was that against the Patriots that they did?
It was.
At least one
so.
Of them they did. Like, it was like almost hit like Rob Gronkowski or something. Who is the funniest guy to be in that situation? Yeah. I mean, that was like a long time ago now.
It was a while. But it keeps happening. I think it happens once a year with Bills games. Like somebody sneaks one in. Because they're not allowed to break tables anymore.
It's like tortillas at Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Sean,
they outlawed breaking tables in the parking lot. A couple of years ago. I remember when this happened. I was like, damn, this is actually a pretty big deal. Angel Reese actually blamed someone for this sex toy fiasco. And she didn't blame Caitlin Clark. Progress from Angel Reese. Angel Reese blamed one of Caitlin Clark's teammates, Sydney Colson. I'm sorry, but this is a hilarious line by Angel Reese, who, again, I would do great PR for. Hey, Sydney Colson, why do you keep throwing your mean green in different areas? It's getting weird. Mean green, what a name. Hell yeah, Angel Reese, that's funny.
And in a story where you've had to hear a lot of people on air talk around it, like we can't say the word. For some reason, we can't say what these things are called colloquially.
No, I don't know why either, but yeah, we can't allow
but it. That no one's talked around it, said the thing without saying the thing better than Angel Reese with that.
Just
a random, like, hey, stop throwing that thing.
Anyway, there you go. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. That's us covering the WNBA. It's a very serious league.
I mean, you want us to do the Valkyries? You want actual Valkyries talk?
We don't have it. It's just
people only want to talk about
the stupid stuff involved.
The stupid stuff,
the culture war,
it's not even like what Caitlin Clark does.
Nope.
It's what other people are doing in response to Caitlin.
Correct.
Clark. Like Caitlin Clark herself. Isn't that interesting? Doesn't drive that many topics.
Wonder what happens to this person. If the FBI is arresting you, like, you're probably going to face some serious charges.
You probably get on a sex offender list, right?
That's a great point. I think so.
Because, like, there are kids at these games. like it is. Like, we have a lot of fun with it. It is a crazy thing.
It
probably is something that gets you in way more trouble than we think.
For the 832, the FBI can find the launcher instantly, but we can't see the Epstein list. Yep, great point.
I mean,
no, that's focus on this. This is a problem. That'd be so funny if Trump comes
Trump
out.
Trump is like, it's a huge problem. They can't even play the game. People are tripping on them.
They're not respecting these beautiful, powerful women, especially Caitlin Clark, my champion. Yeah, not doing that. Anyway, yeah, we're focusing on Nazi advertisements for American Eagle and devices being thrown on the court. Pleasure devices. Yeah. Anyway, it's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 97.5, also available on the brand new ESPN Houston app. There was a controversy in Saturday's Astros game, and I'm wondering if the Astros are allowed to be mad about said controversy. What am I talking about? You'll find out next. Stick around on the Paul Gallant Show.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.